It's good to meet, isn't it? Amongst all the restrictions that can happen, it's so good to be here tonight. And good to see you, Barb and Pete. My heart just leaped when I saw you tonight. It's going to be good because I think God's got some things He wants to say to you. And such a privilege tonight. Is that a siren going? I think they're coming to get me. I've got to run. Hey, it's a privilege to speak tonight. And, you know, a week or two back, I was preparing this message tonight. Thank you. Preparing this message tonight, and I was going to be speaking in the Philippines in a couple of weeks via the internet. And I thought to myself, if Pastor Wes asked me to preach, this is the message I would preach. Then a week later, I got a call to preach tonight. And what's amazing about that is that there was a focus in prayer. We're going to be praying later on at the end. And my sermon happens to have a couple of points that fits in perfectly with prayer. So I believe God wants to speak to somebody tonight. He wants to speak to you. That's why we come to church, isn't it? For God to talk to us. We don't want to just hear a preacher. We want to hear the voice of God. Can you say yes?
Yes.
All right, you're alive. It's kind of dark out there. I think at least there's 200 or 300 people here tonight, just those who are online. Can you hear them? Quite a rowdy crowd. I want to talk tonight. The message is titled, Keep On. And if we, Christine, there we go. Look at that man. Keep On. Keep on. And I want to look at six things we need to keep on doing in this COVID environment, if I can call it that. There's still challenges ahead. We're not out of the woods yet. You hear that a lot, don't you? But I can see past the trees and I can see light ahead. And I can see light at the end of the tunnel. And although I believe, you know, no doubt we're in challenges at the moment, in my heart I'm believing there's going to be a shift in the next year to three. Things are going to change. I'm not going to tell you why I believe that, but I'm an optimist. And I believe above all these things, God is watching His earth. And you know, we can have people saying enough and it's enough and that's fine. But I'm waiting for God when He says on His throne as He sits there and He stands to His feet and He said, enough is enough for this COVID. It's time to release the church. It's time for the outpouring to begin. It's time for the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist to leave their homes and go into the nations of the world. That's my take on it. We know this environment is has impact on many things, finance, relationship, dreams, mental health. But my point tonight is not to focus on that, but more to focus on what God wants us to do and keep on doing. Just a bit of background with the book of Nehemiah. There was Israel, and I know they're divided into two parts, but we won't go there. There was Israel, and the enemy came to Israel and attacked them. There was a couple of enemies, and they took them away into slavery, and they devastated the city, the nation, and the city of Jerusalem, and they destroyed the walls. And what happened was Nehemiah felt this call to rebuild these walls. Now, these walls are about 4 kilometers in length. And one time I did a bit of a drive in my car, and it's quite a distance. And they rebuilt these walls in 52 days. It's an amazing feat. And some of the reason they did that was because of what we're going to share tonight. So number one thing we need to keep doing is keep on dreaming. Keep on dreaming. See, Nehemiah had a dream. He had a dream. And people would pass by the walls of Jerusalem, And they would just see rubble. They would see broken walls. They would see devastation. But Nehemiah saw it differently. He saw the walls being restored. He saw Jerusalem being restored. He saw the nation being restored. He had a dream. And the enemy attacked that dream. But despite that, Nehemiah kept on dreaming and kept on dreaming until his dream became a reality. This COVID environment has a real ability to dampen and even squash dreams. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's a dream killer. But it's okay because you got Jesus inside of you. He's a dream lifener and riser, resurrector. But I want to encourage you tonight, and those people who are watching online, this word is for many out there too. As I want to encourage you tonight, keep on dreaming. Keep on dreaming. Why? Because your dreams are powerful. Your dream has creative power. I'm going to give you some things that are powerful about your dream. Nehemiah and Israel rebuilt a devastated city and nation because of a dream. Black people in America have a certain freedom and equality they did not have in the 19 and 1800s because of a dream. Led by the man Martin Luther King, who said, "I have a dream that people will not be judged by the color of their skin, but the conduct of their character." And because many people dreamed, there was a change. You know, I know I'm writing books, and I'm my third book at the moment, and those who have written books know the excitement of when you get a book out from the printers, a new book. And as I open them there, I think these books came about partly because I had a dream. Dreams have creative power. They can change people. They can change churches. They can change cities. And they can change a nation. Your dream has strengthening power. They encourage you to persevere in the difficulties of today. Your dream has optimism power. They give you hope that there is a better tomorrow, that what you're doing today is working towards something great tomorrow. Your dream has miraculous power. God dreams, remember I'm talking about God dreams. God dreams overcome all impossibilities. They have to bow to what is born of God. Because when God speaks, there's nothing that can stand in its way, not even a COVID bug. Incidentally, God made all that so he can change it. God dreams overcome all impossibilities. Joseph's dream overcome the pit, slavery, and the dungeon. Abraham's dream overcame barrenness. Your dream will overcome any impossibility that this COVID environment may present. You don't sound convinced. I'm going to have to preach for 40 minutes. I'm supposed to be 20. It's going to have to be for 40. Sorry, Wes. There's a work here to do tonight. So I'm saying tonight, keep on dreaming, keep on dreaming, keep on dreaming. Don't let this environment take your dreams, because your dream is your life. Your dream is your compass. And don't just keep dreaming, but ask God and yourself, what steps can you make towards your dream? Otherwise, your dream is just a fantasy. And we don't want that. Number two. Something wrong with that clock. It's going too fast. I know somebody did something to it. Number two, keep on building. Keep on building. Building your family. Building your business, building your dream, building the church. We should all be involved in building the church in one way or another. We should all be involved in one way in building the kingdom of God. Let's go to Nehemiah chapter 4. You can turn your Bibles, please. Nehemiah chapter 4, if you're there, say yes. It's a lot quicker these days with technology, isn't it? Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 1 and 3. But so it happened when Sanballat heard that they were rebuilding the wall. This is one of the enemies in the region to Nehemiah and the people who are building the wall. That he was furious and very indignant and mocked the Jews. And he spoke before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish, stones that are burned?" And so when Nehemiah and Israel began rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, they experienced all kinds of opposition, threats, conspiracies, intimidation. Let me say this, whenever you build something, there is always opposition. Whenever you build something in God particularly, there is always opposition. There is opposition from people. There's opposition from the enemy. The Bible says when in the book of Ezra, when they began to rebuild the temple, there was opposition. Jesus says, Matthew 16, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. In other words, he says, I'm going to build my church, but there is going to be opposition, but I have overcome it. In the New Testament church, when they began to do what they did and build, there was constant opposition. And that's why really, you know, it's we can see from the New Testament that we can learn to live in certain environments and we can do great things still, and we can see God move powerfully still. Do you know God can still move powerfully in this COVID environment? There still can be miracles. There still can be breakthroughs. Don't you dare limit God. And some of you are experiencing opposition in your life. And part of the reason is because of what you're building. If you just stop what you're building, the enemy might leave you alone. But I don't encourage you to do that. Now, Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 11, it says, "And our adversaries said, they will neither know nor see anything till we come into the midst and kill them and cause the work to cease." One of the main objectives of the enemy opposing Nehemiah and Israel was to cause the work to cease, to stop them from building. One of the main reasons the devil opposes you is to cause the work to stop, to cease, to cause you to stop building. And if he can't stop you building, he'll try to get you half-hearted. I love Nehemiah and Israel's response to the opposition in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6. Here it is, five powerful words, five words that you can do yourself. And they said, "So we built the wall." That was their response. All these attacks, you should see all the list of attack after attack. And what was the response? Keep on building. If you're experiencing opposition today, one of the best things you can do is just keep on building. Keep on building. Say it with me. Keep on building. Keep on building. And we must learn in this COVID environment. We must learn to build. We must learn to build in this COVID environment. That's what we've got to learn. We've got to learn to build. We've got to learn to maneuver. Do the dance, as Mrs. Packer was saying, do the dance, maneuver around all the obstacles. Lockdown, not lockdown. We can still do great things in God despite it. We can still grow. We can still learn. We can still pray. We can still see miracles. That's what the gospel is about. In the midst of the fire, we will overcome. Isn't that story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? In the fire, they overcome. In this COVID situation, we can prevail. This can be our finest hour, church. Let's not get too caught up with grumbling and all this stuff. Let's be the church. Let's be the example. Let's be the model. Be prepared to build differently. I have a friend, a revivalist friend in the Philippines. He's doing everything online, locked down like anything over there. Crazy. The president doesn't seem to know what he's doing. He's leaving, thank God. But he's doing everything online, inductions, weddings, the whole bit. Sometimes you've got to learn to build differently, but whatever you do, keep on building. Keep on building this church. It's a great church. Number three, and by the way, before we get to number three, I have a number seven. It's got to be extra one. And it came from what Andrew, Cannon said this morning. And number seven is, keep on sharing the gospel. But number three, Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 10 says, then Judah said, the strength of the laborers is failing, and there is so much rubbish that we are not able to build the walls. So what happened is discouragement was starting to come in. And they were feeling like giving up, but they kept on building. This verse describes what many are feeling in the church in New Zealand and around the world. There are church leaders and Christians in our nation around the world. They're discouraged. They feel like giving up. The strength of the labor is failing. But the word of the Lord is to you and to us and to them. Keep on building. Keep on going, I should say. When we keep going, there is a great reward in this life. And the one to come. We see this with Nehemiah and the people. They kept building. They kept building. And eventually the city was restored. The city was built. The nation was restored. Now it was never like it was before. But then Jesus was able to come. And then when Jesus came, the church was born. And because the church was born, eventually you and I are here partly because Nehemiah and the people did not give up. Hebrews 10 verse 11 says, therefore not cast away confidence, which has great reward. Let us not, in Galatians 6 verse 7, it says, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we will shall reap if we do not lose heart. I'm going to move to the next point because we are moving on here, time very quickly. Number four, keep on growing. Keep on growing. And just fast tracking here, this COVID environment is a great opportunity to grow. Did you know that? I mean, you got to see things from God's size, and you got to have a positive outcome. Thinking about some of these things, particularly in our character, things like trust, submission, wisdom, humility, forgiveness, contentment, patience. It's a great opportunity for us to grow in the fruits of the Spirit listed in Galatians: love, joy, peace, long suffering. Whoo, somebody, you got to practice a lot of long suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Self-control. God wants to use this time to produce great growth in us. For me, I think these last 2 years, I've done some real growing. And there's some attitudes and there's some thinking that I've had for years that are beginning to change. This is a great incubation, a great environment to grow. To grow. Number five, keep on uniting. Keep on uniting. Or put in the brackets if you're taking notes, keep on loving each other. Sometimes we talk about unity. It can sound a bit of cold, but keep on loving each other. You know, I don't have time to get into it, but the reason Nehemiah and the people accomplished such a great feat was because of that incredible unity. Incredible unity. And if you read the book, you see all that happened. You see, COVID has caused a lot of division in the world, would you say? Wow. I mean, there's not a nation that's been affected by it. Who would have thought that there would be so much division over a mask? A poor little mask made in China. But we know there's a lot of things attached to it far deeper, and that's why that's the case. But it's caused a lot of division. As one president said, never waste a good crisis. And I think God is wanting to use the COVID crisis to develop in us characteristics that bring unity. I think that's what he's wanting to do. I've written this down. Unity is not the absence of disagreement, but loving each other in spite of our disagreements. We will always disagree about something. Today it's COVID, Peter. Tomorrow it's the lizard. I mean, who knows? I mean, it's always going to be something. I'm amazed when I go into a room of Christians, how different they think from me. And sometimes I want to pull my hair out. And you can tell I haven't done that. Because I know I'm right. That's not true. That's not true. But sometimes I'm just like, oh, my Lord. We just all think so different. Pick a topic tonight and we'll have a fight. Well, we won't really. We'll always have disagreement about something. We cannot change the fact that we are going to disagree. We can't change it. So we must learn to love each other in spite of our disagreements. That's the only way we're going to be able to do it. We've got to learn to love each other and unite in spite of our disagreements. Because disagreements will always be here. Let me quickly give you examples of unity characteristics. Just give you three quickly. I'm aware of the time and I'm trying hard to move along fast. Submission is one. These are unity character. These are things that bring unity. Ephesians 5 verse 19 and 21 says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. There's not a lot of that going on Facebook at the moment. Then it says, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. It's one thing to submit to somebody when you agree. It's a whole nother thing to submit to somebody when you don't agree. And I think one of the things that God is wanting to teach us is that submissive spirit. Because we're going to need it in the future with the move of God and all the amazing things. Because we need to be like Joel's army. We will not break rank. And I think God is teaching us these qualities for what is coming as a church and coming as the churches in this nation. That there will be an uncommon unity. Isn't that what Acts had? Humility is another one. Proverbs 13 verse 10 says, by pride comes nothing but strife. Wherever there's strife and contention, you could bet your bottom dollar that there's pride. How do you diffuse a contention, a strife? Humility. It's easy to preach. Not so easy to do. Another one is self-control and wisdom. We got plenty of opportunity for that, haven't we? Proverbs 15 verse 1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. When Jesus was on the earth, finishing on this point here, One of the main missions he had was to unite his disciples. Because here they were arguing about who's going to be the greatest. Well, that's divisive. And he told them, you want to be the greatest, then be the servant of them all. And Jesus accomplished his mission. Because the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully, they were in one accord and one place, and they were praying. And there was a great move of the Holy Spirit that changed the world. I have a feeling in our nation that God wants to bring our church and the churches around this nation into a new place of unity. And when we start to get into that place in this environment, it's such a great place to do that. It's such a great environment to develop that unity. You thought it was all negative, what's going on, this COVID thing. Man, God is at work. And I think when we start to see a new unity in this nation amongst the churches, it's not going to be perfect, and not everybody's going to fit together with everybody else. That's a long story. We won't go there. And then we begin to pray like they did in Acts chapter 2. And we begin to lift up our voices. I believe we can start to see fresh outpourings and fresh moves of God. Maybe one thing God is waiting for before we have this big revival we have so prophesied, we've so declared, he's waiting for us to become united. Number 6, keep on praying. Woohoo! By praying, I mean worship and seating, waiting on God, studying the word, fasting. There's a temptation, this won't be long. There's a temptation in difficult times to pray less, but probably we should pray more. Nehemiah kept on praying in difficult times. I won't have time to go into that. Jesus kept on praying in difficult times when he was facing the most difficult time in his life to go on the cross. What was he doing? He was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he expected his disciples to be praying in that difficult time too. Paul and Silas kept on praying in difficult times. When they were in prison and they were chained, the Bible says, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. I know a great apostle by the name of Wes Chambers and his wife, a prophet, Janet Chambers. And they had a church called Living Waters Christian Center. And there was this great plague that hit the land called COVID. And when many pastors could be tempted, your people are tired, your people are struggling, don't put any burden for them to pray. They said, no, 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 we will not do that sort of foolishness. And they stirred the church to rise and build and pray. And who knows what can happen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. Doesn't mean I don't think you pray 24/7, but it means don't stop praying. Keep on praying. Ephesians 6, verse 18 says, pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to the end with all perseverance. Acts 6, verse 4, the apostles said, but we shall give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. We are in difficult times. There's no doubt about that. Let's not pretend. In many ways, we're like war times. It's like war, but not with bullets, but with all sorts of other things. It's difficult times, but God can do great things. But let's us keep praying. And who knows, as we keep praying, and churches up and down this nation keep on praying, that we can shift some things in this nation. Because there is a government. And I respect that. But then there is another government. It's called Jesus and his kingdom. And the government is on his shoulder. And as we step in with that government and with that king,
We can begin to come into a realm this government can't come into, and we can move in the spirit, and we can then begin to shift things. I wouldn't surprise me that I'm all for doing things and being practical, but it wouldn't surprise me that it's the church in this nation that is really going to bring the answer and bring the shifting. As it is in the spiritual, so it shall be in the natural. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. That doesn't mean we don't be unpractical. But we must remember that our fight is in the spirit. Our fight is in the realm of the spirit. And it's a fight that we are going to win.
Stand to your feet, please. Thank you. Now, look at the team, please. Thank you. Oh, it feels like summer here. I'm hot. Whew, I've done my exercise for the week. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And so we're going to pray for some things. Thanks, guys. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. One of the things we want to pray for tonight, as I said, the strength of the laborers is failing. It's not a negative thing. It's just accepting the reality that there are people in our churches and even leaders of our nation that are struggling, that are feeling like giving. I guarantee if you talk to a lot of people out there, even those who don't know Jesus, you'll hear, I've heard it already, a lot of stories of people want to give up. This has the ability to crush people. But we're going to pray for people like that. Because I can't remember the scripture in Romans 8, it says that we're crushed, but it says we're crushed all sides, but I can't remember what it, but it had some sort of positive ending. I can't remember what it said. I'll make it up as I go along. And so what I'm going to do, the first thing I want to do, pray for, is that the first thing I want to do is I want, if there's anybody here tonight who feels like giving up, maybe it's in an area, it could be a relationship, it could be anything, a job, it could be anything, or it could be generally. I want to call you to the front because we're going to stretch our hands out and pray for you. And then what we're going to do is we're going to pray for the church and pray for the leaders in our nation, our pastors, to strengthen them. That those who are, you know, the strength is failing, will be encouraged, will be strengthened. And whoever comes up is going to be like a representative. And so, If you're here tonight, you feel like that. You feel like giving up, and there's no shame in that. Just come up forward right now. Even if it's just one person, I don't care. Because I just, even one person to be encouraged. Thank you. Two. Just come over here. Make sure it's about a meter away, though. And we're going to do things a bit different because we are in those sort of distancing things. So we're not necessarily going to lay hands on people. Well, I don't feel to anyways. But I know God can go past that. Is there anybody else tonight? Anybody else? Quick. Anybody else? Quick. Nobody. Okay. Can I ask Pastor Wes, Pastor Janet, can you come and help with this? So what we're going to do is we're going to pray for these two. Somebody big and strong come and take this away. Big and strong, Pete. No, please. I'm just kidding. So first of all, let's pray for these guys. And then we're gonna pray for the nation, the church, the leaders to strengthen them, encourage them. Okay? So just stretch your hands to these guys right now. Thank you, Father, Lord. We just pray in the name of Jesus.
Strengthen them. Encourage them. Let the Holy Spirit, as the word has been preached, the word has been delivered, let the power of God be administered and touch them right now. We break every spirit of discouragement off them now in the name of Jesus. We break it right now off them. The lies of Satan, the lies of Satan, the lies of Satan, now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for encouragement. Thank you for giving them an ability to dream, Lord Jesus. Again, in the name of Jesus.